Stephen Colbert tweets, New Orleans won't allow Mardi Gras parades this year, so evidently Pennsylvania Avenue takes public health less seriously than Bourbon Street. Conan said, remember, you need to start quarantining today for Thanksgiving and then keep quarantining and then not go. Catherine is a civilian, I believe, and I saw her retweeted by Saturday Night Live. Apparently, Alec Baldwin is refusing to leave SNL and won't hand over his dressing room to Jim Carrey. Well done. Stephen Colbert says, apparently El Presidente has even canceled his plans to travel to Mar-a-Lago for Thanksgiving, deciding to stay in Washington instead. Smart move. The minute he steps out of there, you know they're changing the locks. Seth Meyers said, instead of traveling to Mar-a-Lago, Trump will reportedly spend Thanksgiving at the White House with First Lady Melania Trump or whichever Melania he can book on such short notice. Have you gone down the fake Melania rabbit hole? Oh, do this. Google fake Melania. Some of us, and I'm one of the us's, thinks that sometimes Melania is not Melania. There is a Secret Service lady who looks more like Melania than, I don't know, than I look like Melania. And sometimes you'll see Melania and she doesn't seem to have her usual height or nose and she's wearing big sunglasses. And those are the days that the Secret Service agent takes off. Fake Melania. Go down that rabbit hole. Jimmy Fallon said, meanwhile, Trump was like, if Don Jr. asks, I'll still be at Mar-a-Lago. Trevor Noah said, for all the talk about Trump being an aspiring dictator, this is some weak stuff. Like, now's the time he should be taking over all the state capitals, installing new governors, arresting opposition leaders, doing all of that. Instead, he's just sitting at home trying to manifest a win on Twitter like a little bitch. Trevor said, Donald, you're losing court cases all over the place. It's almost like a miracle. He took one election loss and turned it into 1,000 more losses. GQ did a wonderful, wonderful, terrific profile of Trevor. You should read it. It is called Trevor Noah is Still Trying to Explain America to Itself. It's Getting Harder. It opens with, a homeless white man had set up a blanket and pillows on a nearby bench. Noah dislodged his kickstand and stepped toward him for a few minutes of small talk. As Noah would soon explain, the man has lived for 4 years on a sidewalk in the area, and the two have developed a bit of a relationship. Noah and his staff have attempted to help the man, but so far he's refused. Trevor said, I remember once when I first got here, I felt guilty. I was like, hey man, can we do anything? And the guy was like, no, I'm fine living the way I live. And I thought, well, this is a very weird experience. Noah said he came to realize the man wasn't as laid back as he appears. Trevor said, he's homeless, but he'll say super racist or sexist stuff to my employees like the women. Sometimes I have to check him. Never says anything to the white guys who are with us. And it's this weird power dynamic where you go, so wait, let me get this straight. You're homeless, but in your head you're like, yeah, I'm still white. And I'm like, but you're homeless. It's a really interesting dynamic. In the rules of wokeness, I don't know how it works. I don't know what the rules are. Trevor said, for me, this has been one of the most liberating years mentally and emotionally because it freed me from a lot of the paradigms and anchors I'd created for myself. For me, the coronavirus, if you look at it objectively, has stripped away a lot of the BS. The first thing that was stripped away was the format of the show itself. The Daily Show had the same problems as most offices. You know, do we go in? What's the new reality? Do we pivot? So they pivoted to the Daily Social Distancing Show, on which Trevor and the correspondents filed from their apartments. At first, the segments were being posted directly to YouTube, but then it became the studio show. Gone were the tightly tailored news anchor suits. Trevor grew out his hair into an afro and began wearing hoodies. He felt free to be more experimental. The first part of the show was just trying to provide a moment of respite. Trevor said, the second thing I'm trying to do is keep myself and my audience informed of what's happening so you don't have to live on social media, so you don't have to do 24 hours of cable news, so you don't have to watch people fighting the whole time. Great article. It is in GQ. On Showtime Sunday night is that Belushi movie. The director, R.J. Cutler, said Belushi did get clean in the wake of the Blues Brothers and sought to reinvent himself again, accepting more challenging roles in films like The Darkly Funny Neighbors and the romantic comedy Continental Divide. But difficult working experiences, negative reviews, and Hollywood's indifference to his passion projects contributed to the relapse that eventually resulted in his fatal overdose. Asked where he thinks Belushi's career might have gone had he lived, Cutler says he can't predict what the comedian's present-day filmography would look like. People always ask, how would Wilt Chamberlain be if he were playing basketball today? Those are fun things to think about, but I'm not quite sure. I don't know what John would be doing now. Whitney Cummings went in-depth with the Daily Beast. They said, has anyone actually been canceled who didn't deserve it? Are people really being canceled if Louis C.K. is still able to headline comedy clubs? Whitney said, something that fascinates me about Twitter and cancel culture is I was at the Twitter offices for some reason reading stats about it, and 22% of people who are on Twitter, of that, 2% generate 80% of the comments, so there's that. But I think humans are very consistent. We've done this with town square hangings or the Roman Colosseum. Humans used to watch hangings as entertainment. We're a very dark species. I have this theory I'm working on. Tell me if it's stupid. But we have a very basic need to root for or against things. And then we didn't have sports. And so it got worse. And all of a sudden it was like, he wore bronzer 10 years ago. And I think the pandemic amplified it because we're all so scared and freaked out. People don't realize what they're doing when they cancel comedians. We're funny because things are taboo. The more you make it taboo, the funnier we get. The Beast said, but if there's cancel culture, what happened to Jeff Ross? Whitney said, that's a great question. I don't know. The one where it's hard to tell is because we're in a pandemic, so we don't know who would be getting jobs or who would be touring because nobody's touring or really working. It's a weird time, but it was interesting to watch the comedy community kind of... There seemed to be a collective shrug, which is crazy. That article didn't seem to really hit as hard as I thought it should have. You also have to have a certain amount of fame to be canceled. So it's this weird thing of how do you cancel someone who wasn't super famous? And why are we only canceling people who are super famous? Since power is relative, can you only cancel someone who's super famous? Really, the answer is, I don't know. As comedians, it's our job to advertise our flaws. We're scumbags. We admit it. You don't need to cancel us. Nobody hates us more than us. You don't think we're funny? We agree. So it's this fascinating thing. Really interesting article in the Daily Beast with Whitney Cummings. All right, tomorrow I'm going to run the episode about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's been sitting in the can for quite some time. I even scheduled it a few weeks back, and it didn't run because Joe Biden got enough electoral votes, and I wanted to cover the comedian reactions to that. So let me clear that out tomorrow. And in the meantime, if you miss me even more, I host the weekly comedy thing on the Live by Live app, the former Slacker Radio, Live by Live, Live X Live, if you want to find it in your app store. On there, you not only find the weekly comedy thing, which I'll talk about in a second, you'll find Comedy Station. So if you want to hear some actual stand-up comedy by, I don't know, Whitney Cummings or Jim Gaffigan or whoever, you'll find it all on there, streaming radio stations. It's free. Jump on. And the weekly comedy thing is my weekly show, which is kind of like this, except I get to play the comics. So that Whitney Cummings thing, you know, I just read that for like 2 minutes. I would do a 20-second version of that and then play a bit by Whitney. So it's kind of like this, but less me, more comedians. Some people like that. Follow the show on Spotify. Not that one, this one. Follow Daily Comedy News on Spotify. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. I have a lot of fun doing this. See you tomorrow.